Welcome back to the Parents' Rights in Education podcast. We are a grassroots movement of millions of parents and allies standing together, speaking as one, to protect children and ensure parents' crucial role in their child's education is protected. We come alongside millions of parents and allies and equip them to stand up for their rights by free trainings, membership, and community support. You can join this movement for free by visiting parentsrightsineducation.com. And hey, if you love the work that we're doing, please leave us a 5-star review. Your review helps us get out our message and allows us to keep advocating for parents' rights. Thanks so much for being here. Let's get into today's topic. Hey, parents and allies. Here at Parents' Rights in Education, it requires us to all do our part in protecting our children's education. That's why we created Club 12x12. For just $12 a month, you can sign up to become a Club 12x12 member and help us continue our work on training, informing, and empowering parents and allies to stand up for their rights. Being a Club 12x12 member gets you access to our exclusive monthly trainings, swag such as hats, t-shirts, buttons, a monthly newsletter, and more. But most importantly, being a Club 12x12 member means you are doing your part to protect parents' rights for one more day. To become a Club 12x12 member, visit our website, parentsrightsineducation.com, and click Club 12x12. That's parentsrightsineducation.com, click Club 12x12.
All right. Happy Monday, everybody. Let's get right to the news. New York, a radical measure. In January of 2023, the New York legislature, for a second consecutive session, passed a measure proposing the Equal Rights Amendment. Now, that's not new to a lot of you, but to some, sure as heck isn't new to me, the ERA. Now, this proposed amendment to the state constitution heads to the November 2024 ballot, and if ratified, would ban discrimination based on a person's ethnicity, national origin, age, disability, and guess what? Sex. And that includes discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, pregnancy, pregnancy outcomes, reproductive health care, and reproductive autonomy. The ERA's proponents often tout and opponents warn the amendment could strengthen abortion access. But most alarming for our parents should be the amendment's potential to advance gender ideology, undermining parental rights, and harming minors. The proposed amendment would grant all persons, that of course includes minors, protection from discrimination based on, quote, sex, unquote. For example, New York's relevant executive law defines person as one or more individuals, while state penal law defines a person simply as a human being. And if courts similarly interpreted the amendment to apply its anti-discrimination provisions to minors, whoa, the ERA could provide a state constitutional basis for upholding controversial and broadly unpopular policies related to the medical and social transitioning of gender dysphoric youth, undermining parents' rights to direct the care and custody and control of their children. This could allow New York courts to claim that barring children from accessing gender affirmative care, or GAC, is discriminatory and therefore unconstitutional. While New York law currently allows emancipated minors to pursue medical care without parental consent, the state does not give unemancipated minors the legal right to make non-emergency medical decisions outside of exceptional circumstances. However, the state's regulatory agencies already prohibit discrimination based on gender identity and allow trans-identified minors in New York to receive confidential mental health services for the treatment of gender dysphoria and possibly additional services. So the ERA could give courts a constitutional basis to vindicate children's supposed rights to access other more invasive treatments, such as puberty blockers or even genital surgery, without parental knowledge. Guidance commits the State Department of Education to assuring that a student's gender identity is affirmed and that his or her privacy and confidentiality are safely maintained, which crucially includes privacy from parents. Students are not required to obtain parental guardian consent or a court-ordered name or a gender change before being addressed by their affirmed name and pronoun. Whoa, according to this policy, meaning that the DOE's default is to transition children at school socially without parental approval. Now, what's amazing to me, you guys, is that this has been in law being practiced in Oregon for 15 years. So I know what this looks like. What's our call to action? Okay, watch out. Our schools here in Oregon are saturated with radical LGBTQIA++ curriculums in every grade, every subject, every day. You better speak out against the New York ERA. If you live in New York or any surrounding states, or you know anybody who lives there, tell them, start, join groups that are fighting against this. New Yorkers need to know ERA uses the abortion defense argument as a distraction to steal parental rights. Whew. Now let's go to Louisiana. Oh my gosh. Louisiana approves anti-LGBTQ+ bills in schools. This is good news. It's called the Given Name Act. The Louisiana House Committee on Education advanced House Bill 121, which is sponsored by Representative Ray Cruz, a Republican from Bossier City, along a party line 9-3 vote. This fantastic bill prohibits the use of transgender and non-binary youth's chosen names and pronouns in public K-12 schools without parental permission. It also requires school employees to use certain names and pronouns for students unless parents have provided written permission to do otherwise. It requires that school employees not be required to refer to any person by certain pronouns if contrary to the employee's religious or moral convictions. And if a teacher objects to using a pronoun for a student based on the teacher's religious or moral convictions, the student's parent may request a transfer to another teacher. This is a great law, and it requires each public school governing authority to adopt policies and to provide for related matters. And the last action, this bill reported with amendments in the House. So, our call to action, write to your representatives in support of this bill. Get it through the legislature. Get it signed by the governor. It protects your right as a parent to know what is going on with your child in school. Next up, Montana. Okay, this is Senate Bill 99. On April 9th, a group of Montana students, teachers, librarians, and organizations representing school counselors and psychologists filed a lawsuit seeking to block the 2021 law requiring that school staff notify parents 48 hours in advance if they plan to teach or discuss anything with students which involves human sexuality. Wow, that's a great law. But now these guys want to sue. The group says the bill violates multiple provisions of the state constitution, ensuring rights to freedom of speech and expression, privacy, due process, equal protection, and a quality educational opportunity. This bill, Senate Bill 99, claims a lack of clarity. But this is kind of a typical, you know, objection that the left has. Without clear guidance on the issues that fall under the scope of Senate Bill 99, teachers, librarians, and others are at risk of discipline if they unknowingly violate legislation, says Martha Van Sickle, who's an attorney, the ACLU of Montana. She goes on, Senate Bill 99 has left Montana schools navigating uncertainty and vulnerability, which stifles learning opportunities for students and threatens free exchange of ideas. Remember, we're talking about minors here, guys. In response, the governor's office and superintendent of public instruction, Elise Artzen, said they remain committed to the law, which ensures a parent's right to know if their children are learning about explicit content at school. Now, while the governor's office generally doesn't comment on ongoing litigation, the governor remains committed to preserve a Montana parent's role in his or her child's education, especially a parent's right to know when a child might be exposed to explicitly sexual content in the classroom, the governor's spokesperson, Caitlin Pierce, said in a statement. Go, Caitlin. Now, they are suing Gianforte Artzen, her Office of Public Instruction, and the Montana Board of Public Education, alleging the law's vagueness is creating abundant issues for educators, including the two-spirit and LGBTQ plus community and mental health professionals that work with students, because the law is being weaponized to shut down discussions and lessons that some parents might morally object to. That's one of the claims against the law. Complaints include that the law has led to teachers, librarians, counselors, and psychologists avoiding discussing gender identity, sexual health, and even legal decisions in law lessons that are not planned in advance, so they don't risk potential punishment for violating the law. They say nearly 3 years on, they have received little guidance about exactly when they should be notifying parents 2 days in advance of any lesson or discussion. These are all ridiculous complaints. Two-spirit and LGBTQ plus students are also unable to learn more about those communities, and that the law also subjects them to being further singled out because of their identities and subject to bullying. Oh my goodness. They continue by talking about how the law is violating the constitutional requirement for quality educational opportunities for Montana students because of restrictions surrounding sex ed and are not informing students of healthy practices and are paring down their opportunities to learn as much as they wish. Actually, these kids probably don't even know about half this stuff. And, it's not about them. It's about their parents and what their parents want them to learn, right? Okay, so what's their call to action? Okay, read and keep up with this lawsuit. Inform yourself and others on why this does not violate the state constitution and be part of the public pressure campaign to keep this 2021 law. Alrighty, now we've got the affiliate shout out. Alicia Leck. She's our affiliate in New York, New York. Alicia became an affiliate with us last year. What started as an interest in learning more about her parental rights led to joining our team full-time and helping other parents educate themselves about their rights. Thank you, Alicia, for protecting students by standing up for parents' rights. Friday's guest is somebody you are not going to want to miss, guys. This is Richard Burke, and he is the Western Liberty Network Executive Director. He has been in that position and doing this for over 30 years. He has so much experience training activists. So he also does our Saturday Zoom trainings, and he's available to travel to your area. So please put that on your calendar. Do not miss hearing Richard Burke on Friday.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. To keep up with everything we're doing, check out our website, parentsrightsineducation.com, and sign up for our newsletter. You can also join our movement for free by visiting our website, parentsrightsineducation.com. To do your part in protecting parents' rights, you can become a Club 12 by 12 member by donating $12 a month. It takes all of us to make the change that we want to see. Thanks so much for listening. Talk soon.